one of the most enigmatic ideas of tshuva, of repentance, is really the idea of going back in time. You know, the Gemara talks about the idea of if someone did something by accident, then if he does tshuva, it becomes a zchut. Or if someone even did something intentionally, it can become a zchut, can become a merit. Which basically makes almost no sense. I can understand that I can rectify something that I did in the past. For example, if I broke someone's window, I'm going now to buy a new window for him. So now, you know, I broke his window, he lost his window, now he has a new window. But I cannot undo the breaking. I just replaced what I broke. I fixed what I damaged. But to tell me that I can go in time and fix what I did before, that makes almost no sense. So obviously, one of the main issues that we need to try to explore is the idea of going back, not to the future like the movie, but really going back to what? To the past. How can we do it? You know, we can always say, and we'll see, I think, one of the solutions is that, you know, tshuva was giving or was created before the universe was created, so it doesn't have the same laws of physics. But, you know what, that's a nice solution. I'm not saying it's not, but it's not what I'm looking for. So let's take a look. How do we try to deal with something like that? So take a look at the Rambam. So the Rambam said the following. Ezoi tshuva gemura, what is considered as a full, complete repentance, the shebal yado davar she'avar bo, something that you already did, ve'efshar biyado la'asoto, and you can do it. Ve'piresh ve'lo asa mipnei tshuva, and you refrain from doing that because you are in the process of teshuva. Lo me'ir'ah, you didn't prevent yourself because you were afraid, ve'lo mikishalon koach, and not because you don't have the strength to do it. So for example, ketzad, so he had a relationship with a woman which was a sinful relationship. And after a while, time passed by, he was secluded with her in the same place. So he's still in love with her and he has his strength with him. And it's the same place that he was with her before. Ve'piresh ve'lo avar, and he refrained from being with her, zehu baal tshuva gamur. This is considered as a person who did tshuva fully. Which means what? I'm not going into the example itself. It's basically to confront the same thing that you did before. You have the same passion, you have the same strength, you have the same desire to do whatever you did, I don't know, 2 months ago. But you're not going to do it. Why? Because you are in the process of teshuva. Now, is that possible? It is. Are you the same person if you are in the process of teshuva? I don't understand it. Let's take something that we can all relate to. Okay? I started my diet. When? Tzom Gedalia. Yesterday. I didn't eat until 6:45. From the morning. Really from the night, I didn't even wake up to have my coffee in the morning, okay? So I started my diet yesterday. 2 months will go by, let's say, 2 months from now, and I'm keeping my diet and I'm exercising and everything, and then there's a chocolate cake. I don't like chocolate cake so much, but let's say it's chocolate cake and I like it, and I have the same, do I have the same desire to eat this chocolate cake after 2 months of exercising and being on diet?
Yeah, even more.
Might even more, or maybe not. Because if you are in real diet, I'm not talking about only just cutting the food, but in the mindset of diet, you look at chocolate cake as one of two things, your enemy, so I'm pushing my enemies outside, or I'm looking there as someone that I'm not going to have that desire, because you know what, I can replace it with cucumbers and trina, I don't know, whatever it is. The question that I have on the Trombone is that it's something very interesting. He said that you need to put yourself in the same position, same conditions, same circumstances, same everything, in order to prove that you did tshuva gemura. Do what? Besides the fact, very good, that you are saying that, you know, it seems to be according to the Rambam, I need to look for that woman, right? I need to look for this chocolate cake in order to prove that I'm a Baal Tshuva Gamur. Why should you do that? That's A. B, it's very hard to replicate exactly the same thing because there are some ramifications to it. That's why I did the Tshuva, right? If I was with that woman 2 months before, and then I had the guilt and the shame and whatever it was, and then I decided, okay, I'm going to do teshuva. So 2 months later, it's almost impossible that I will have the same thing without this thing above me. Hey, you did teshuva. So I want to fully understand this Rambam. Later on, we will try to understand it. How can I go back in time, in a way, to be still in the process of tshuva, but to, in a way, to take myself out of this process of tshuva, put myself again in the same circumstances, same condition, and then to refrain from doing that. Why? Because I'm in the middle of the process of the tshuva. Everyone is with me? Okay. Now, the Rambam in Ilchot Tshuva in Perek Bet, Halacha Dalet, says, "Midarkei tshuva, some of the ways of the tshuva, is liot hashav tzoek tamid lifnei Hashem bivchiru v'tachanunim." So the person who repents always cry out to Hashem with tears and with and he besieged God, ve'oseh tzedakah kefi kocho, and he tried to do tzedakah according to his abilities. Umitrachek harbe min hadavar shechata bo, and he distanced himself as much as he can from the sin he transgressed before. Umeshane shmo, and he can change his name. כלומר אני אחר ואיני אותו האיש. I'm not the same person שעשה אותו המעשים. הוא משנה למעשיו כולם לטובה ולדרך ישרה וגולה ממקומו, שגלות מחפרת אבון מפני שגורמת לו להיכנע ולהיות ענב ושפל רוח. The Rambam says what? That מדרכי התשובה, in order to accomplish this process of teshuva and to really to go to the end line, you need to do what? You need to distance yourself as much as you can from what? From the thing that caused you to sin. I don't understand. In order to prove that you are Baal Tshuva Gamur, what do you need to do? Meet the same woman in the same hotel with the same passion and love. Halacha Dalet in the Rambam says what? If you want to be in the process of Tshuva, if she lives in America, you need to be in Australia. Okay? Don't see her, don't talk to her, don't post Facebook with her, nothing. Just go out, get out of there. So how do we going to reconcile these two Rambam? Now, on one hand, I can tell you that one of the most obvious ways to reconcile that contradiction is in the first line of the Rambam. The first Rambam says, Ezohi tshuva gumura. The second one is midarkei tshuva, which means Perek Bet Halacha Aleph talks about what? The end result. Halacha Dalet talks about what? The process. So during the process, you need to distance yourself as much as you can from anything and from everything that you think and what? Can instigate again the same issues that you had before. But when you came to the end, that's okay. You can confront your past. Now, when we talk about confronting your past, how do you know that you are ready? How do you know you are ready? Well, one second. Before that. How do you know you're not going to be tempted? No, he is tempted. Omed be'avato ota, he is in love with her. He's crazy about her. But he will not go with her to the hotel. Why? Because he's in the process of teshuva. So he meets with her. He sees her. He has love for her. But he will tell her, Shana tova o metuka, gmar chatima tova, I will not see you again. Or I will see you, but we're not going to be together. That's what the Rambam says. So how do you know that you are ready? Okay. Let's keep it like that for now. You don't. You said you don't. So you need to look for it, or you need to wait for it to find you.
And if not? So you know, you are never called Baal Tshuva Gemura? You understand my problem? Do you understand why I'm wasting all my time now to try to figure out what does he want to say? Right? Do you need to look for troubles? That's basically what it says. If I didn't eat kosher, and I went to this non-kosher restaurant all the time, loved the food, I never did, but whatever. And then I became a Baal Tshuva. I started keeping kosher and everything. So basically, according to the Rambam, what do I need to do in order to check out if I'm a Baal Tshuva Gemura? Just go into the store and to say to everyone, what's on the menu? You have this dish. Oh my God. I'm not having it. Goodbye. That's what you need to do. And what if you thought that you have the strength to say no, and then when you smell it, you say, you know what, just a bite. So to have a bite?
No. You just have to want to walk away.
But how do I know that I will be able to walk away?
Right.
So that's the problem. That's the problem that we have. You need discipline. But how do you know that you have full discipline? How do you know? Okay. Okay. So basically, Perek Bet Halacha Aleph is a dream. It's an ideal. It's an ideal. Okay. Let's keep that in mind. We'll continue now. The claim was that perhaps it's an ideal, not necessarily something in reality, not something that we can really achieve, but this is something that we need to, in a way, imagine for ourselves. If we will be in the same condition, same circumstances, same situation, and we have the same desire and the same passion, what would we do? Okay. Now take a look at Rav Soloveitchik, Isha Halacha. Isha Data Klali, Tofeset Rayon HaTshuva Mibchinat Kapara, Betor Tris Bifnei HaOnesh, Betor Charatat Srak She'ina Yotzeret U'Mechadeshet Klum. He says the general religious person, his concept or his understanding of Tshuva is basically atonement or a shield in front of what? Of a punishment. Labriot, meaning, I sinned, I committed a sin, there is going to be a punishment coming down, so I'm doing teshuva, so I have like a shield to protect me. Nafsho hogan nechaim umitabelet al yom etmol ki avar, al hazman sheshaka kvar betehom haneshiya, ve'al hamaasim shechalfu ketzel. So this religious person, this general religious person, his soul is very sad, he's depressed on the day that he just wasted, on the time that he invested in things that are meaningless. Al uvdot she'i efshar leshanotan ulamiran be'acherot ulevichach zakuku lechasadim merubim lenisim v'niflaot. And he mourned for the past and on the things and the realities that he created that he cannot change. And therefore he is praying for what? For miracles to save him. That's Ish Hadat, the religious personality. Ma she'ein ken Ish Halacha. But the halachic man, that's from the halachic man, הוא אינו מתמכר לבכי ותוגה. אינו נושך את בשרו ואינו חובל בעצמו. הוא אינו עסוק בתשובת המשקל ואינו מתמכר לסיגופי הגוף ועינוי הנפש. He says the halachic man does not mourn for what he did. He doesn't afflict himself for what he did. He is not trying to suffer for what he did. So what does he do? Isha halacha asuk b'yetzira atzmit uvivriat anochi chadash. The halachic person, or the halachic personality, try to what? To reinvent him or herself. To renew themselves. Einu mitcharet al ha'avar shekvar af v'ne'elam. He does not have regrets on the past that already faded away. Ela ba'avar ha'kayam adayin v'amishtarbe v'hanichnas לתוך ההווה והעתיד. Rav Soloveitchik, who was very much or heavily influenced by other philosophers, believes that time is not necessarily a linear line. It might be a circle or it might be some kind of a chain. Meaning the past, you know, we have this idea of ha'avar ayin, ההווה עדיין, והעתיד כערף עין. Right? Do I need to translate? Avar is faded away. The hove is really right now, and it's like in a minute. And the atid, the future, is like in a blink of an eye. So there is like three. There are like separation between the entities of time, but it's not true according to what we believe in, and many philosophers believe in, which means what? The avar did not fade away totally. Some of the avar, some of the past, is still what? In the hove. And part of the hove is already in the atid. I'll give you an example. I think it was Bergson, if I'm not mistaken, a German philosopher. He said something very interesting. I think it was him, Scheller or Bergson, one of those two. He talks about music. How do we enjoy music? So you listen to the music, but one second. The sound that I heard a minute ago, it already what? Faded away. So how do I enjoy? I mean, there's no connection. If we say there is no connection between the past, present, and future, how can I enjoy music? So basically, I carry on the sounds from the past into what? The present, with the anticipation for what? For the future. So to some extent, part of my past is what? Is still with me. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, new. Yeah. Okay. Skipped my mind. No. About the we'll call it like that, okay? About this, the psychological perspective that your past formed who you are. I'm not there yet. Okay? Some people believe that your past basically is who you are and who you are going to be. That's also, we don't believe in it. We believe that it can heavily influence who you are, but it's not going to what? To determine who you are. So basically, what we have according to Rav Soloveitchik is, he says, Ela ba'avar hakayam, the past that is still what? Exists. Ve'hamishtarbev, what is mishtarbev? Comes in. והנכנס לתוך ההווה והעתיד. It inserts itself into the present and into the future. אין הוא לוחם בצללים המציצים מן העבר המת, ואין הוא מתאבק עם המעשים שכבר כמשו ונבלו. The halachic person does not fight the shadows from the past. And he doesn't struggle with actions or with deeds or actions that he did and they basically faded away. אין קבלתו החלטה ארטילאית ביחס לעתיד רחוק וסתום שלו בא עדיין לעולם. איש ההלכה מעוניין בבבואת העבר המשתקפת במרכזם של חייו בהווה הסוענים והנרגשים כים נרגש ובעתיד הפועם והתוצא שכבר נברא. יש עבר חי ויש עבר מת, יש עתיד שלא נוצר עדיין ויש עתיד הקיים כבר. Rav Soloveitchik basically destroys everything that we knew about time. He says there is avar, there is past that faded away, and there is a past that still exists in the future, in the present and in the future. There is hove that does not exist, and there is hove that exists and influence the future. And then there is a future that is unforeseen, and then there is future that I know it's foreseen. So how many times do we have now? 6 instead of 3. And then he says, the three lines at the end, he says, "Atid matbia et chotamo al ha'avar vekovea et dmut yukano." And this is a sentence that I am going to take a bit time with you to try to understand it. He said, "Atid matbia et chotamo al ha'avar." What does that mean? The future imprint its impact on the past. Before the how, this is really contradicting everything else that we know a little bit about psychology. Sit on the couch, you know, tell me about your childhood, tell me about your adulthood, you know, oh, now I understand why you act like A, B, and C. What is the danger in such a way of treatment. Thank you. Basically, you are not responsible. Why? Because your parents, because of the surrounding, because of the kid in third grade, because of your teacher in fifth grade, because of whatever, you didn't make it to the basketball team, whatever it is. Which basically, I'll do it like that. The danger is lack of responsibility. The good things with that are obviously that some people just cannot carry all the blame upon themselves. Sometimes it helps to really deal with how you deal with things like that in the present and in the future. Obviously, there are always advantages and disadvantages in everything. But the main issue is lack of responsibility. Rav Soloveitchik reversed it and says, Atid, the way you are going to shape your future will impact what? Your past. There are so many ways to look at our past, and this is really the essence of teshuva. When you think about it, it's amazing. Something happened to you in the past. I can look at that and say, I don't know. We need to take an example. Okay, so someone, I don't want to take something too scary. Someone was bullied. Okay, this is a very simple, I can use other, which will create more of a clarity, but you know what, let's just take something that it's a little bit more subdued. Okay, someone was bullied in Kita Aleph. His self-esteem was crashed, and therefore he's now 30 years old, he has problems of self-esteem that affects his ability to date, his ability to get interviews for jobs, to be steady in his life. He has no self-esteem. He's not secure. He might be very talented, but he's just not. He goes to a psychiatrist or a psychologist, and he starts talking to him and told him that, you know, in first grade he was bullied and very heavily bullied, whatever. And the psychiatrist tells him, gives him tools how to deal with that. And, you know, you're now 30 years old. You are talented. You're not being bullied. Don't allow it to happen. You cannot be the victim. Blah, blah, blah. You know, everything that any psychiatrist or psychologist in the room before I'm starting bashing anyone, God forbid. Okay, so please correct me also if I'm wrong. But that's basically what we try to do, to give him tools to overcome the past. And to show him that what? That he can change and put whatever happened in the past, close it in a little closet and bye. Leave it alone. Set free. Rav Soloveitchik says, bring it in. Don't lock it in the closet. You were bullied? You were bullied? I'm very sorry. What are you doing now? Oh, I'm trying to get a job. I'm trying to date someone. I have low self-esteem. You think it's because of you are bullied? It might be. What do you do now not to be bullied? To build your self-esteem and to take this incident that you were bullied and to channel it into what? Into strength. Do you see that? Baruch Hashem, I think I took a good example. Do you see how different are the ways we approach something from the past? Which, by the way, now more and more, really we have an issue, even in psychology, as much as I know, is that we have some kind of a machloket. You know, how to deal with past events? Do we bring them to the open and we try to confront them and to basically take what was so wrong and what determined my life until now, and how am I going to look at it, turn it, and to make it something that supports me and make it me stronger in the present and in the future. This is not easy because it puts all the responsibility on whom? On me. That's true. We'll go back to the Rambam that we questioned. You remember the Rambam? We spoke about the ideal. What's the ideal tshuva according to the Rambam? Bring your past back. Think about it. If you will have the opportunity to be with that beautiful woman in the same circumstances, same conditions, same place, same, would you do that or not? What can you learn about it? What can you learn from it about you? And this might be what the Rambam says. I'm saying that as a suggestion. I'm not saying that as the path or the understanding of the Rambam. The idea is that how would we know? You will never know. But you need to ask yourself that question. What do I do with my past? And I think, I don't know if I mentioned it here or in a different shiur that I gave, I don't remember anymore where I even gave shiurim. But there is a major machloket in Gemara in Yoma, if I'm not mistaken, it's Daf Pei Vav, that talks about the idea of if I committed a sin this year and I did teshuva, following year I didn't do that sin, should I continue to confess for the sin that I didn't do this year? I did other sins, don't get me wrong, but that specific one I didn't. Should I confess for it? And there is a machloket. One opinion says, you shouldn't. Kekelev shaval kio, like a dog that goes back to his whatever. Okay, why do you want to go there? Put it in the closet. Gamarnu, dayenu, enough. You need to be proud of yourself. You didn't do it again. The other opinion says, no. You grew this year. You have a different perspective on what you did in the past. Confront your past. Bring it back. Bring it back to the extent that it will help you to become stronger in the present and definitely build a different future for yourself. And this is what Rav Soloveitchik says, but the only way to do it is to really believe that you have these six components of time. Because it's really going to the future, skipping the present, and going back to what? To the past, change the past. How? By making decisions for the future that you didn't do yet because you are in the present. Basically, we live in all components of time. Now, I will tell you that the only way, I think, to achieve something like that is obviously to believe that, you know, obviously there is time. I mean, if I'll ask you what the time now is, 12:01. And if I will ask you what was a minute ago, you will need to tell me what? It was 12. And what will be a minute from now? 12:02. So there is this time that it's set in time, or really set in stone. But there is also time of netzach, of eternity. And with eternity, there is really no time. You can really go between past, present, and future based on what? On Olam HaTshuva, the world of Teshuva, the world of repentance, which basically allows us to do what? To skip over time. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik says. Now, with everything, yes?
How can you forgive them?
So that's a different question. I mean, it's obviously very important, and it's a major issue, but that's not exactly what we are dealing with now, so I can't relate to it.
No, but my daughter and we recognize you are a person of value,
right?
No matter what other
that's
people
true.
Say about you.
Right, and also to take, and according to Rav Soloveitchik, it's to take this bad experience and to make yourself stronger because of it. Okay.
How do you do that?
It's called tshuva. Tshuva is not only on the spiritual level. Really, not at all. Tshuva is the ability to overcome a habit, to overcome a lifestyle, to overcome mindsets. That's what it is. I mean, for example, Rav Kook says that quit smoking. If you quit smoking, that's tshuva. It's called tshuva tiv'it. Natural to tshuva. Why? Because you showed yourself that you are able to change a behavior. So if I have zero self-esteem because I was bullied in Kita Aleph,
Okay, and now I prove myself that I can have self-esteem because I know my worth, and I know that they didn't understand it. Okay, and I'm taking those experiences that I had before, and I'm channeling it into something that gives me strength. How? By thinking about it, and by thinking about what can I do now differently than I did in Kita Aleph. That's how you do it. Is that easy? Not at all. Not at all. But you need to change yourself. That's the essence of teshuva. Now, the problem with that... Oh, sorry. Yes. It might be. But we just took that example that the psychiatrist or psychologist will say that was the cause for your low self-esteem. It might be that because of many other things. Yeah, it might be. But you know what? I will say like that. I don't really care what's the cause, even though in order to really to do a memukad teshuva, to do a focused teshuva, you need to know exactly the root problem. But even if there are five reasons why I have low self-esteem, the problem is what? Is low self-esteem that prevents me from maximizing my potential. Okay? Deal with it. In a way, don't blame the past. Build a different future. Okay, but the problem is, with everything I told you, Rav Soloveitchik was very honest. And he said the following, in Isha Halacha, he says, Omnam, Eina Halacha meunyenet kol kach, we're on page 2, Abaya, where you see the problem. Omnam, however, Eina Halacha meunyenet כל כך במטאפיזיקה של הזמן, ואין היא נוטה להפוך אותו לאיכות תאורה נוזלת ומתחמקת. אין רוח היהדות נוחה מסובייקטיביות ואיכותיות יתרה. לפיכך אין היא מסתכלת בזמן מבחינת מדעי הרוח. העובדה כי מושג נזמן בהלכה כרוך בסדר עיתים, ימים, שבועות, חודשים, שנים, שמיטות, יובלות, מוכיחות, כי אין היהדות רוצה בזרם שוטף, אלא בזמן קבוע ומסוים. Rav Soloveitchik basically contradict everything we said before in his name. We spoke about teshuva, that it's basically over all the components of time. You can basically fly between the past, the present, the future. But Rav Soloveitchik says later on in his book, he says that the halakha is not interested in the metaphysics of time. The halakha is very precise. If I tell you that you need to, that you cannot eat after chatzot, what do I mean by that? Don't eat after chatzot. Not, you can't tell me, Rabbi, I'm not really eating after chatzot. I'm really floating in time. And really it was after chatzot, but it was really before chatzot, and it was in the chatzot. And I will tell you, come on, I told you not to eat until, you know, after chatzot. So we have a little bit of a problem. So do we believe in multiple components of time, or do we believe in a very set time? So take a look. The first solution to it, as I said before in the beginning of the class, is that the Gemara in Pesachim in Daf Nun Dalet says, "Shiv'a dvarim nivru kodem shenivra olam." There are seven things that were created before the universe was created, which means basically they do not need to answer to the laws of physics. Okay, they are very much divine. Ve'elu en Torah, tshuva, gan Eden. So tshuva is above time. So therefore, don't bring me a challenge from something that has time. Two, the halakha deals with olam hazeh. Okay, and in olam hazeh we have what? We have past, present, future. Olam hatshuva does not have any times, therefore you can go back in time, go back in future, go back to the future, do whatever you want. Okay, that's one solution. Nice, interesting, but I have something nicer. Rav Soloveitchik himself says the following. Ha-realizatia shel ha-halakha, the realization of the halakha nitzchit betoch olam hazmani veacholef. Tzimtzum kvodo shel ha'ein sof betabura shel ha'metziut ha'mamashit. Yiridat havaya olamit el ha'metziut ha'mukefet kiyum sha'a. He says, really, there's something very interesting when you think about halakha and implementation of halakha in this world. The halakha is the word of God. God is, by definition, eternal, infinite. Now you take this halakha and you bring it into this world. Obviously, what exactly happened? You limited it, you narrowed it in order for it to fit
into this world, right? Okay. ולא לחינם יודעת היהדות על דבר עולם בתור ישות סופית, ועולם בתור נצחיות ואינסופיות. שני הפכים בנושא אחד. On one hand, we believe that what? That the world will come to an end. On the other hand, we know that what? That the world will never come to an end. Why? Because it connected to whom? To Hashem. And if it connects it to Hashem, what? There is no limit. There is no end. אמנם כן, he says that exactly the point. בתוך הסופיות עצמה מתגלים עקבות האינסופיות. בתוך השעה הנעלמת, הנצח מתמיד. סמל השקפה זו משתקף בידיעת התשובה שהיא יצירה. היהדות אומרת אין נצח בלי זמן כלפי לילה. בתוך חוויית הזמן מתגלים חיי עולם, השעה נהפכת לאינסופיות, הרגע לנצחיות. This is one of the most mutually exclusive sentences I ever saw in my life. But it says the following. It's not the first time that we Jews believe in things that are exactly the opposite. We say it every day, twice a day, for example. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The attribute of judgment and the attribute of kindness are one. We say what? We say that on one hand we need to be Moser Nefesh, we need to give our lives for God, and the other hand we know that Chayecha Kodmim, you can need to save your life, you violate Shabbat for life. We always have these contradictions. And therefore, he said, we believe in two, how am I going to say? I guess two worlds, W-O-R-L-D-S, that coexist in the same time, even though they are mutually exclusive. Meaning, if I fulfill the mitzvah now, this mitzvah was limited with time, but what did I create? Chayei Netzach, eternal life. You're with me? Which means what? When I do something that it's finite, it can become also infinite. So when I learn Torah, what do? I learn for an hour, now I learn Torah. But at the same time, I connected myself to what? To eternal life. Chayei olam nata betochenu. Which is what? Eternal life, he planted in us. So basically what we have, says Rav Soloveitchik, is that it's true. The halakha deals with olam hazeh, with time. But ideat ha-tshuva, but the tshuva, the world of tshuva, which is part of the halachic, the halachic structure, provides us with what? With a concept of unlimited time. Now, it sounds like a little confusing. So how does it work exactly? It works like everything else in Judaism. We are able to almost live in two realities. I know it doesn't sound schizophrenic, but we can live in two realities. In a reality of olam hazeh, in the reality of what? Of olam haba. How do we do that? I don't know. We believe in ayom hazeh, we believe in ayom haba, we believe in olam hazeh, we believe in olam haba. Most of the people, by the way, cannot live their lives like that. Do you know that? Most of the people live their lives, what? Only olam hazeh, or only olam haba. Look at some of the statements that we say. We say that ha'olam hazeh dome leprozdor bifnei ha'olam haba. Right? That this world is like a corridor to the olam haba. And then, what do we say? יפה שעה אחת בתשובה ומעשים טובים בעולם הזה מכל חיי העולם הבא. That one hour of teshuva and good deeds in this world is better than everything in the next world. So on one hand we say that this world comparing to the other world is klum. Then we say that in this world you can accomplish more than in the next world to come. So we live our lives in two realities.
On Rosh Hashanah we celebrated what? Crowning Hashem as a king, created the world, Din and Rachamim. Sukkot, what do? We go out, we live in temporary huts, okay? And then it's Chag what? Chag Asif. This is the celebration of what? Of the fact that we harvest everything and we have plenty. So we live our lives with in two universes, on one of plenty and then nothing. Then we live our lives with Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Which means what? We really dance on two weddings with the same That's exactly what Rav Soloveitchik says regarding Teshuvah. We are able to bring the Netzach, the eternity, into what? Into Olam Hazeh, into something that it's very concrete. Rav Kook has a little bit of a different understanding. And Rav Kook says, Ein avar ove ve'atid mechulakim באמיתת היש, מה שהיה הוא שיהיה, מה שנעשה הוא שיעשה. ומה שנעשה מקווה ומה שיעשה לעתיד הולך ונעשה בעובד תמיד ותחוף. והכל חי והכל שלם, הכל רענן והכל מזהיר, כשהכל מוכר בחטיבה אחת, כשהאורה מזהרת ומתפלשת את האורה, לידע ולהודיע איך ממקור הכל חי הכל. רב קוק says, that not only that we are able to live in two realities, you must believe in it. Because if you believe that your havaya, that your existence, is basically connected to God's existence, so then you cannot talk about what? Time. Are you with me? Or is that like, to take it down a bit?
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. If we believe that we are dvekim ba'Hashem Elokechem, that we cling and we glue ourselves to Hashem, it means what? We have part of Hashem in us. You can call it the neshama, you can call it the ruach, you can call it the whatever you want to call it, the soul. So basically, what do we have? If we really believe that we are attached and glued to Hashem, we are here and we are not. We live, we are bound by time, and we are not bound by time. And that's what Rav Kook says. Memekor hakol chai hakol. If we believe that what? That we are attached to the source of living, which is Hashem, he is not influenced by time, like he's not influenced by body restrictions. And Rav Kook continues on in the last source on page 2, he says, ההוויה, המעשה הבחירי של האדם ורצונו הקבוע, הינם שלשלת אחת גדולה שמעולם אינן ניתקים אחד מחברו. He looks at life, not again, not as linear, but rather as a chain. It's like a שרשרת, it's like a necklace, that you have a chain and a chain. So basically, I did something here, I created a chain. Then I'm creating something now, here. You see that one? It didn't fade away. It's not gone. Part of it is gone. This part. But this one has what? And an attachment to the Hove. And now the Atid. So the Atid is attached to the Hove, that it's attached to what? To the past. And they are all in one circle of a necklace. So basically what? The Avar Hove Ve'ihye is basically one big entity. גם המעשים של העבר אינם ניתקים ממהות החיים והחפץ במקורו. Even things that I did in the past do not detach, are not disengaged from the things that I'm doing now. כיוון שאין הדבר מתנתק לגמרי, because you can never really disconnect yourself totally from what you did in the past. יש ביד החפץ להטביע צביון מיוחד גם על המעשים שעברו, וזהו סוד התשובה. It says, the secret of teshuva is what? Is that whatever we did, never really faded away. It was never really gone. And that's how you can go back and revisit what you did. Now, if you take a look at one of these beautiful songs of Rabbi Yehuda Halevi on page 3, he says like that, Avdei Azman, Avdei Avadimem,
meaning people who are time servants or time slaves, are slaves to slaves. Eved Hashem, hu levad chofshi. Only if you are God's servant, you are really a free person. Al ken bevakesh kol enosh chelko, and therefore everyone who is seeking for his part, chelki Hashem, amra nafshi. You should try to what? To seek God's part in your life. Because then you are above time. The thing is that everything here in this world is obviously time-bound, time-limited. Limited by time. The only entity that is not limited by time is God himself. So when you do tshuva and you find this spiritual component in you, you are connected to God, and then time is what? Is not an issue. That's how you deal with the time problem that we have with tshuva. So then the Rambam says, "Gdola tshuva shemekarevet et ha'adam la'shchina." Tshuva is an incredible concept that brings you close to the Shechina. I'm skipping to the last lines that are underlined. Emesh haya ze sanui lifnei ha'makom meshukatz umeruchak v'toeva, v'hayom hu ahuv v'nechmad karov v'yadid. When you do tshuva, what is the transformation that takes place? Emesh, what is emesh? Yesterday, because you didn't do teshuva yet, you were distanced from God. Meshukatz, what is meshukatz? Disgusted. Very good, that's exactly the word. Umeruchak, distance. Ve'toeva, abomination in God's eyes. Ve'hayom, one day passed by and you did teshuva. Ahuv, nechmad, karov yadid. Beloved, liked, close to God, and a friend. Because the Baal Tshuva confront his past and change his past. Not his future. That's the trick of Tshuva. According to Rav Soloveitchik and maybe the understanding in the Rambam. Maybe. There are other understandings. The essence of Tshuva is to be able, with what you have now, to go back and to fix it. To the extent of what? That you are not the same person. You don't allow the past to dictate who you are, but rather who you are today dictate what you did in the past. Which is still somewhat enigmatic.
Are you confronting the past?
The what?
Are you confronting the past?
Yeah, you need to.
Or fixing the past?
You need to confront it first. You can't just fix it without knowing exactly what you did. If you take a look at the Al-Sheikh says something incredible. He said, I couldn't hear you. It might be our feeling, but it doesn't change the idea. And then the Al-Sheikh says, if you look at the fourth line from the end, it says, fifth line from the end, V'alo yipale. He says, I cannot understand. Me'ayin ve'layin kafzu ha'kfitza etmol avdu avodah zarah v'ayom yamutu al kiddush Hashem. He says, he asked about the generation who went out from Mitzrayim. Yesterday they were worshipping idols. Today they are willing to what? To jump into the Yamsuf. Maze. So says the Al-Sheikh, "Ein ze kiim sheim shelo itchilu vav litayer azaram Hashem v'itchil ha'shpia bam shefa shel tshuva v'amar lahem, im she'adayin yidachem hayom ba'avodah zarah, mishchu yidachem yimena ukhu, v'ze yomar ein anu makshim lishol, ki alo chadesh yameinu ata kekedem shu kasher asita mikedem b'mitzrayim, shekodem shenatchil ashuv etchalta ata, ase gam ata." Says basically what happened was there, that God basically bestowed upon the generation who went out from Mitzrayim the ability to do tshuva, which means what? Yes, 3 hours ago you worship idols. Now you're going to worship me. How? With tshuva. The decision that you make now helps you to do what? To confront your past. And to overcome it. That will be maybe the more important thing.
But they did.
They did. They changed their mind later on again. No question.
The idea of confronting the past is more
short term. Okay. And now you are leading me to my conclusion, which is tshuva has different layers. There is the tshuva, I will call it the decision to make one, the decision to do tshuva. And the decision to do tshuva itself is to confront your past, to try to understand what exactly you want to build your future into, and how you're going to want to overcome what you did in the past. That's the decision to make tshuva, and when you make that decision, God is going to start helping you. How much, when, exactly, I don't know, but God will help you. Apoteach, petach, if you start the opening, God will help you. Then there is what I will call tahalich tshuva, the process of the tshuva, which is what? It's your entire life. The process of teshuva is the idea that I am always going to repent and I'm always going to confront the past. I'm always going to want to try to be a better person. And then you have what? Darkei teshuva. Path of teshuva. Everyone has his own. It's very subjective. Some people cry. Some people, try to fix it. And then you have what? Tshuva gmura. What is tshuva gmura? The complete tshuva, the ideal tshuva, that what? That you are able to experience the same thing that happened in the past and change it. Perhaps this is the understanding of the Rambam. How do you change it? By not doing it. Meaning you don't allow the same thing that happened in the past to happen again. The what? Sure. And that's the ideal teshuva. Which means that I made my decision, I went through the process of teshuva, I came about the same things, and it doesn't influence me anymore as much as it was before. Which is an amazing thing. Think about it. How you can change your behavior, and we can change our mindset or change our way in a way that things in the past do not bother us anymore or as much as they did before. Let's take something very simple. Before you did tshuva, someone who sat in your seat in shul, that was Milchemet Gog u'Magog. Okay? You did teshuva. 2 months later, you see someone sits in your seat. And you go to him or her and you say, Shabbat Shalom. I'm glad that you are back in shul. I'm glad that you are comfortable in your seat. And you move on. And you move on. I'm saying, obviously, that you have another seat to sit in. We all understand that you changed. The ability to change and the ability to prove ourselves that we are able to change is one of the most empowering thing that you can ever wish for. It takes tremendous effort, tremendous sincerity on our behalf, which is a little difficult. But the end result is a life-changing event. And
I think this is one of the essence of teshuva. He's not to allow the past to dictate your future, but rather to do the reverse. To have your future dictate how you look at your past. And with that, Gmar Chatima Tova, until after the Chagim, Bezrat Hashem.